Nick would not need speak about my constituency first this time. Madam Speaker, first of all, I must thank God for giving me His blessings to be here for yet another term to serve my people of Nikku South and the people of St. Lucia generally. I must also take this opportunity to thank the people of Nikku South for giving me their continued support and putting their trust in me to serve them as their representative, and also to give me the opportunity to serve the people of St. Lucia as Minister of Education. Ces gens, mis pour ça, là, je vais vous remercier pour ce qui est possible pour détruire, pour servir, pour représenter les gens, pour concept et pour garder après les affaires, par exemple. Madam Speaker, during my years in opposition, I had a daunting time to have the then SLP government to assist me doing anything in my constituency, the Nikku South constituency. And this morning, Mr. Speaker, when I listened to the member of Beaufort North lamenting about having to fill potholes in his constituency, I just laughed because I did that for 5 consecutive years, every year, myself and some supporters helping. And I was not only filling potholes, I was filling craters on the road. It was extremely bad. Madam Speaker, my people were deliberately isolated and made to suffer because they dared to vote the United Workers Party. But my people are resilient. They have stuck to their belief in the United Workers Party. They have stuck in their belief in me. And they always knew that one day they would be liberated and justice would be served. I remember clearly, Madam Speaker, whilst in opposition, the Labour Party government undertook 2 major projects in my constituency. One was replacing a water tank in my constituency, which was damaged and leaking. But, Madam Speaker, it took them over 3 years after condemning the water tank, removing the water tank, it took them 3 years to replace it. The other project was refurbishing the health center. And after 2 years, the work was finished this year by the United Workers Party government. During that time, Madam Speaker, my road networks were in a horrible state. And for years, for the 10 years that the government served in power, they did not do any work on several of my roads. Not even a patch was put on those roads. But, as I said, with the help of my supporters, we were able to keep the roads motorable by filling the holes with quarry waste and other materials. During that time, I was able to get assistance also from outside to refurbish the the community center in Lacouville. I was also to put concrete drains around the playing field in Deriso. And I was also able to get a group of young men in the constituency to work on the playing field in order that the young people could play their football and cricket. Since the United Workers Party won the election in 2006, December 2006 to be precise, we have accomplished a number of projects. And I would like to list them there quickly so that my people can hear and the people of St. Lucia also can hear what we have done from December 2006 to March 2008. One, there have been general improvement works on almost every byroad in the constituency. There have been patching of potholes on the Deriso High Road, the London Road, and the Leslie Road. The fixing and upgrading of the Diga Lakuville Road. The fixing and upgrading of the Sheikh Monvoy Road. The putting of concrete drainage and begin to repair the Tiroche Lakuville Road and the upper Tiroche Calypso Road, which had not been touched for over 30 years. Commence repair work on the Tiroche multi-purpose court to include the laser park for the children to play, plus the inclusion of a toilet block. Near completion of major repairs on the Deriso multi-purpose center. Also was able to make an order of 200 chairs for the center. Completed sidewalk near the Deriso Combined School to facilitate the students. Construct car park and fixed drainage opposite the Deriso Catholic Church. With the assistance of a Tiroche Mikud Fair Trade Group, 10 computers were provided to the Tiroche Combined School. 6 were provided by the group and 4 by the district representative. Through the Fair Trade Group, a bus shelter was constructed in the Lakuville area for use by the residents. Got a sponsor to commit to provide 10 computers for the Blusher Combined School. Provided 2 basketball stands with bats and hoops to the youth of Blusher at a cost of over $2,000. Provided lighting for the Deriso multi-purpose court. Established a development committee for the Tiroche area and is in the process of doing the same for the Deriso area. Got cabinet to approve for setting up a rural council for the Miku South constituency. Placed 20 needed street lamps more so in the dark areas of the Bosha area and the Asia area. Got the commitment to set up a 100,000 gallon water tank in Tiroche to improve significantly our water storage capacity in the Miku South. Also got the commitment to construct a multi-purpose court at Lakuville in Tiroche. We are just waiting to get the land settled. And we were also able to get a number of young men in the constituency to sponsor and organize major football and cricket competition and tournaments. Of course, there are many more projects to be done, and there are many more projects to be undertaken, many more roads to be repaired and rebuilt, and of course, our Deriso Highway is long overdue. I think since the former representative, Mr. Castellias, was the representative of Deriso, it was said that the Deriso High Road would be built. And I can tell you, we are looking forward to ensure that that road is built, because it is over 10 years that a promise was made. What I want to tell my people of Miku South, we will continue to work together progressively to ensure that we develop our constituency for the benefit of us all, and generally for our children to come. Once again, let me thank the people of Miku South for the support and tell them that I will do all in my power to continue to represent them as best as possible. Mr. Speaker, let me now turn to the Ministry of Education and Culture. Let me say what was in this budget for us this year. In the budget this year, we receive a recurrent amount of $137,004,461. This gave us an increase of $9,479,365, giving us an increase in our recurrent expenditure of 5.6%. And this gave us an overall percentage of the recurrent budget of 18.4%. In the capital expenditure, we were given an amount of $21,562,013, a decrease of $12,704,497. Mr. Speaker, we hope that we will be able to use the monies allocated to the Ministry of Education to carry out our programs and to do so as efficiently as possible. I would like to turn to the school population because this is very important. I want to compare the figures of 2006 and 2007 with the figures of 2007 and 2008. Under daycare and preschool, I will give you the figures for 2007 and 2008. Under daycare, we had a population of 1,249, and under preschool, a population of 3,830. At the primary school level, in 2006-2007, we had 23,969, and in 2007-2008, a population of 21,329. Which means that we had a decrease in the primary school population of 2,640 students. That is a percentage of 11%, a decrease by 11%. At the secondary school level, in 2006-2007, we had 12,965. In 2007-2008, a population of 14,578. Which gave us an increase over the previous year of 1,613, an increase of 12.4%. And of course, we know the reason for this. At the tertiary level, in 2006-2007, we had a population of 2,617, and in 2007-2008, a population of 1,689. There was a decrease over the previous year of 938, or a percentage of 35.5% at the tertiary level. We all know why there was that increase and the bottleneck at the secondary school level, because universal secondary education has caused a steady increase in school population. Last year alone, in 2007, we had to find 500 new school places to accommodate students at the secondary school level. At the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College, with that decrease, we pose the question, does Sir Arthur Lewis Community College become less attractive to students, or do less students meet the entry requirements, or whether more students are unable to meet the cost of attending the college? And with these three questions, we can say it might well be the combination of all three factors, but it would be interesting to note which is the most predominant factor in this case. As a minister with responsibility for education and culture, significant progress has been realized, Mr. Speaker, since we got into office. And I would like to list some of those. Positions which were vacant for years were filled. The Registrar of Examinations, Head of the IT Unit, Administrative Secretary, Executive Officers. Principals and Vice Principals were appointed at most schools. Modern 15 staff members have received promotions. 81 teachers received study leave with pay to pursue studies at the Sarasota Wilson Community College. Reformation of the Sarasota B.Ed. program to meet the needs, and then we had, instead of having administration and evaluation, administration and management, we had most of our B.Ed. students doing testing, that is doing the mathematics and English language, because we realized that doing administration and management, we had 41 persons graduating with this a degree, and we only had 4 of them employed as principals and 2 as vice principals. And those teachers were in the primary school, and what they did not want to go out to teach in the secondary school because they did not feel comfortable that they had sufficient content to do so. So they were there on in the primary schools, underutilized. Introduction of the transport program subsidy for 1,500 students with more than 150 bus drivers employed. The employment of 104 new watchmen to ensure security in all schools. And we also fenced a number of schools to ensure security, and we began experimenting with the CCTV cameras. Merger of preschool and daycare with supporting legislation. Extension of the PI, Boca Secondary, George Charles Secondary, Beaufort Technical School. 7 new classrooms or new wings built to attain universal secondary education. This establishment of the sham called enrichment centers and all students placed at secondary schools. In the case of Supre, we are paying care for more than 30 students since there were no space at secondary schools last year. Purchase of vehicles for courier service and school feeding program. Extension of the school feeding program to include at least 7 new schools, and expansion of the bursary program and book rental programs. Completion of the Marigo, Rosalie, Grand Rivier, Second Grand Rivier, St. Mary College after more than 1 year delay and cost overruns. Appointment of a TVET council and appointment of NSDC board. Report received by the task force and tabled in cabinet. Establishment of the accreditation and TVET units to be relocated at BZ. What we found to Mr. Speaker, and a lot of the old problems that plagued the system were resurfacing as we got into power. And a typical problem was the problem of fly infestation at Oje Combined School. And that problem was there since 2004. And we have tried our best to resolve that problem. Upgrade of Sarasota Wilson Community College to a full-fledged university is now in train. Rehabilitating more than 50% of our school plans. OECS Inclusive Growth Project will be launched on December 12th to the tune of more than $3 million. National Literacy Survey now in train. Currently, the occupational standards are being validated by the OECS Skills for Inclusive Growth Project. An OECS Skills Project in competency-based certification is being piloted at 2 secondary schools, the Sixth Secondary and the Beaufort Technical Secondary. Upgrading of 71 teachers to graduate teachers status. The Awards of Excellence was reinstated as part of Nobel Laureate Week to ensure that all our students who excel were given the encouragement and recognition both in academic and non-academic activities. Last school year, Mr. Speaker, as I mentioned, an additional 500 spaces were created to ensure that there was access to secondary school education and that a universal secondary education would become a reality. But Mr. Speaker, access and universal spaces are only the first steps to universal secondary education. The Ministry of Education and Culture recognizes the limitations that plague the education system. One of the many controversies that has inundated our education system over the years is the apparent failure of so many students to read and write. And I think somebody mentioned this morning. I think it was the member for Supra. Students entering secondary schools are illiterate, a number of them. Teachers, it is said that teachers are using the alphabet chart to teach our students letter recognition at some of our secondary schools. Teachers at secondary school, therefore, are frustrated and they are complaining bitterly. Sadly, primary education has had some shortfalls in building the actual foundation for secondary school. We think that the foundation should be at the early childhood level. But you will realize that as a government, we do not have full control or full responsibility for early childhood education. And you will realize that all of our preschools are privately owned. And I will talk to this a little later. These problems need to be addressed urgently in order to limit the counterproductive effects of high dropout rates, high incidence of low self-esteem, low morale and indiscipline, high turnover of low or non-skilled achievers who would degenerate into poor and non-productive citizens of our society. Yes, Mr. Speaker, the outlook seems bleak. This is a situation that will arise because adequate preparation was not made for the introduction of universal secondary education. As we look from vision to implementation within our education system, we have had to grapple with the following challenges. And in this budget, the Honorable Prime Minister spoke about opportunities and challenges. We too at the Ministry of Education, we have a number of challenges. We have challenges of human resource management issues and accreditation given, CSME, freedom of movement of goods and services, lack of drive, motivation among our students, epidemics, HIV/AIDS, diabetes, alcoholism, stress, youth violence and crime, intensity of conflict, juvenile delinquency, truancy, family disorders, sexual abuse, molestation, incest, rape, teenage pregnancy, high rates of illiteracy, poor male performance at the school level, negative peer pressure among youth, limited tertiary opportunities, food security threatened, local resource shortages, hardships, poverty, deprivation, and indigence. All of those have presented tremendous pressure for our policy and administrative staff, principals, teachers, and students. But Mr. Speaker, there is no wool over our eyes, and we are cognizant of wool figures. Mr. Speaker, UNESCO, in summarizing progress in assessing education for all at the primary school level, provided a development index showing the mean distance for four education for all goals set, and I will name the four goals. One, ESA achieved, that is education for all achieved, close to EFA, intermediate position, and far from EFA. Mr. Speaker, that index was determined from 0 to 1. And the countries that have achieved education for all, there are only 3 countries in the world with a score of 0.98 and 1. And these 3 countries are namely Aruba, Barbados, and Cuba. Saint Lucia comes under the intermediate position, and that is a score of 0.08 to 0.94. And there are 18 countries there. Saint Lucia comes here under the intermediate. It must be noted that UNESCO has set the target here for achieving education for all at the primary school level at the year 2015. So it carried out an assessment to review the progress made since 2000. It wanted to address some of these key questions. What are the main education for all achievements and challenges remaining at this point, midway to the target year of 2015? Which countries are advancing the fastest? Which policy initiatives are promoting access to education and improving its quality, especially for the most disadvantaged groups and areas? What the report shows, Mr. Speaker, that despite progress towards some goals, the Latin America and Caribbean region still faces serious challenges to improving quality and equity in education. It also shows that adult literacy remains another serious education for all issue in some of our countries. In keeping with our budget theme, Mr. Speaker, rallying our people for development in an era of global opportunities and challenges, cognizant of our challenges and our limited resources, an effective sectorial approach will be implemented. My government will embrace early childhood education in a more significant and tangible way. After all, these are the formative years of children's education, and we should seize this opportunity to mold and nurture them for life. The problems, Mr. Speaker, must be addressed at the early childhood, primary school level, secondary school level, and post-secondary level concurrently. As a consequence, the recurrent expenditure for primary education and secondary education was increased in this year's estimates. My ministry's thrust in our strategic outlook of 2008-2013, therefore, will be to enhance the quality of education. The ministry will work closely with a national commission, which the Honorable Prime Minister alluded to, external agencies such as the Ministry of Social Transformation, Youth and Sports, Department of Human Services, churches, care, NSDC, and other agencies to achieve this end. This year's approved estimate will allow us to work with the National Commission to begin to address the following, and Mr. Speaker, I'll name them. 1, provision of quality education for all. Education is not only about quantity. There is therefore dire need to strengthen the articulation of education among early childhood, primary education, secondary education, special education, adult programs, and enrichment learning and tertiary education. 2, build a strong foundation by expanding access to early childhood education and the effective delivery of early childhood education services. 3. Reconceptualize and change the nature, form, and content of primary and secondary education to enhance the quality of education so that students can master the essential foundations for lifelong learning and requirements for effective, responsible participation in life. We shall aspire, Mr. Speaker, to develop and implement a broad, balanced, differentiated, and relevant curriculum. Introduce new modalities of assessment, certification, and student recognition programs. The curriculum to include what we call co-curriculum activities, and that will include, Mr. Speaker, uniform groups, physical education and sports, health and family life, wellness, HIV/AIDS, citizenship education, the inculcation of social skills, values, attitudes, positive behaviors, and conflict resolution. And school-based assessments, continuous assessment, and varied certification programs, including CCSLC and CVQ. Mr. Speaker, we seek also to improve the participation, performance, and retention of boys in schools and implement programs for boys and girls at risk. You know, we have that problem with boys not remaining in school, and we want to ensure that that happens. Promote natural sciences in school. We have a dearth of science subjects being taught, especially at the secondary school. You hear most students going to secondary school, they tell you what you qualify in, business studies, but you don't get many of them qualifying in things like geography, biology, chemistry, physics. Monitor and supervise instructions in school. Review, revise, and establish appropriate legislation standards in our Education Act of 1999 to address issues of universal secondary education, standardization of school fees. That's a problem we are going to look into, because different schools have different fees. HIV/AIDS, new modalities and assessments. Revise organizational structure and operating procedures of the Ministry of Education and Culture. Strengthen and expand welfare and support services for children with special needs, our gifted children, the poor, the disabled, HIV and AIDS positive, students at risk, orphans, etc., and make provision for second chance education. Offer high quality technical and vocational education and training, that is TVET, and skills training within a high coordinated and flexible framework in response to the changing needs of our labor market. Accredit courses, programs, institutions, and certification of skills within a highly coordinated and flexible framework in response to the changing needs of the labor market. Upgrade the South Wales community to a full-fledged university. Expand the use of information and communication technologies in the teaching, learning, and research processes, and ensure that all students leaving school are computer literate and can apply ICT to their daily lives and to enhance employment opportunities. Establish a management information system, that is an MIS system, for quality data on effective selection, recruitment, and placement of staff, storage, processing, and retrieval of information on education system to facilitate timely decision making. If you go to the ministry, you will find that we have over 2,000 teachers. We have a paper file on each one. And to get information, we have to dig through these files and search. But if we have an MIS system, it will help us to get information a lot quicker. And again, we will not need all that space for the storage of that information. Develop and implement an overall staff development plan, including training, to ensure effective school management, delivery of quality education, instruction, and to facilitate the implementation of school improvement plans and ministry programs. Modernize and uphold integrity of school plans to include the development of a preventative maintenance plan. And I think the Prime Minister alluded to that last night. Massive reconstruction of old school buildings, learning resource centers, and upgrade expansion of science, ICT, IT laboratories. Modernized library services on par with international standards and new developments in technology to provide quality library information services and promote research and development programs and communication skills. Survey level of illiteracy at the national level and implement programs to eradicate illiteracy and sustain functional levels of literacy. Promote collaboration, functional cooperation, and partnership among international, regional, external agencies, the private sector, non-governmental organizations, and organizations in civil service society to improve the quality of life of students. Promote a rich and vibrant culture. Demonstrate accountability through strategic and financial management, supervision, monitoring, evaluation, exercise, fiscal discipline, and prudent utilization of the government resources. Mr. Speaker, let me at this time try to elaborate and expand on some of the crucial areas in the education sector. In the area of education, under diversification of the curriculum and providing support to non-performing schools, the ministry will be providing a more differentiated curriculum to primary and secondary schools to incorporate a co-curricular activities section, and when we speak about it, we speak of the uniform groups and so on. Diversification of certification at the secondary school level to include Caribbean Certificate of Secondary Level Competence, that is a CCSLC, CVQs, which is the Caribbean Vocational Qualification, will be implemented. The Ministry of Education expressed commitment to integrating the CARE, a program called ADP, Adolescent Development Program in Secondary Education, and involves the training and sensitization of 186 principals, teachers, and staff office instructors in the ADP to take place in the summer, with the main focus on the following: counseling in self-understanding, self-direction, and self-esteem, health and family planning issues, basic cognitive and vocational training, acquisition of coping skills for the classroom and life. The program beneficiaries will include principals and teachers of schools which fall within the low ranking group of the common entrance results and, according to general perceptions, experience a high rate of indiscipline. A combination of services of overseas care contacts and local affiliates will conduct that session. The Ministry of Education will be expected to fund the program as part of its expansion effort of support services to secondary school students under the OEDP. The program will be implemented on a phased basis. Special needs teachers will also be deployed in our primary schools to strengthen the quality of education. Now, you know, special needs education teachers, as they are trained in special curriculum to detect problems facing students. And so we are going to deploy some of them into our primary schools. In addition, the ministry will embark on the following initiatives: provide training to all teachers in differentiated instructions, establishment of LRCs, that is the Learning Resource Centers, in all secondary schools, incorporate ICT in teaching and learning. Teachers' training programs, including the CERTED and the Bachelors of Education at Rice, are currently being reviewed in line with the training needs using the priority list of the country. To date, other specializations have been introduced into the program, such as literacy, numeracy, and mathematics. Madam Speaker, steady allowance to teachers has been re-established. From September 2007, 81 teachers, as I said before, were granted study leave with pay. A core of St. Lucian teachers is currently enrolled in the master's program without having a first degree. That in itself forms the basis for further problems, since the training that is offered by those external institutions does not appear to be meeting our local needs. The teachers are unable to teach at the secondary school. They have a master's degree. They are unable to teach at the secondary schools or lecture at the town college because they are lacking in the required content areas, although they have a master's degree. And we have to pay them at a master's degree, yet we cannot utilize a number of them at the secondary school to help our students know at our college. There is great difficulty in finding teachers in the following areas, as I said before: natural sciences, chemistry, biology, physics, math, informatics, CDET, pedagogy and content, ICT, geography, visual arts, and theater arts. We have problems in getting teachers in these subjects, and we are trying as best as we can to see if we can get teachers and train them along those lines so that we can redeploy them into the secondary school and into schools. With the attainment of universal secondary education, a larger number of students with varying levels of ability, interest, and readiness are accessing secondary schools. This means that teachers have to be trained to deliver educational programs effectively. The Lindbergh College will be contracted to conduct such training. Specifically, teachers have to be trained in pedagogy so that they can meet the needs of multiple intelligences in the school system. The theory of multiple intelligences proposes a major transformation in the way our schools are run. It suggests that teachers should be trained to present their lessons in a wide variety of ways, using music, cooperative learning, arts activities, role play, multimedia, field trips, inner reflection, and much more. So in other words, you don't go there with chalk and talk. There's a number of activities that you can do to sensitize and to get the children's interest. While differentiated instruction is not novel to our education system and our teachers, it has become evident that the traditional talk and chalk method that is still practiced in most of our schools has been described as boring, particularly to male students. So we need to change that so that we can keep attracting our male students to remain in school. Increasing instructional leadership. Clearly, improved education for our children requires improved instructional leadership. As instructional leader, the principal is the pivotal point within the school who affects the quality of individual teacher instruction, the height of student achievement, and the degree of efficiency in school functioning. Efforts at principal training in the recent past have focused on the school management responsibilities of the principal, such as topics covered include human resource management, resource mobilization, managing finance, and strategic planning, among others. In St. Lucia, there are 78 primary schools and 24 secondary schools, each headed by a principal. It is also useful to note that presently, the Ministry of Education has no structured ongoing program to provide on-the-job support to principals. And that is something we are looking at, because that is something they need to go out there and to get sort of refresher courses so that they can go back with renewed vitality and energy to energize the teachers and energize their students to perform. Establishment of schools inspectorate. That is a new undertaking that we want to do. The schools inspectorate project is the first of its kind in the hierarchy of the Ministry of Education and Culture in St. Lucia. The closest to this was a team of five educators, known then as supervising teachers, who had the responsibility for the training and monitoring the unqualified teachers preparing to enter the local teachers' college from the 1950s to the 1980s. Before that era, I remember persons like Dr. Little Thomas, who is now retired, served as inspector of schools, one of the many portfolios he held in the local education system. There is urgent need for instructional support for principals and teachers. The school inspectorate will have the responsibility for providing that support. Other responsibilities of the school inspectorate would be to engage in class and student monitoring, teacher appraisal, research, and site-based professional development. Introduction of co-curricular activities, I mentioned this a while ago, provision of broader-based education in schools as part of the mainstream curriculum instead of extracurricular will be introduced. These will serve to promote a variety of activities which all school students must attend in addition to the standard curriculum. They will not be doing all, but they will have a choice on the other. We have sports and games, uniform groups, performing arts, theater and visual arts, clubs and societies. In developed and developing countries where the policy has been introduced, students are afforded a means to instill active social interaction. The initiative will include important qualities such as leadership, healthy recreation, tolerance, patience, self-discipline and self-confidence, and conflict resolution. ICT information, ICT subject in the school. The computer has become the universal work tool of the new information age and the world economy. It has impacted in every sphere of life in all parts of the world. Our schools have not been spared this revolution. The necessity for computers in schools to enhance learning is inarguable. Our first will be on the following fundamental principles. Information technology must be introduced at an early age and utilized appropriately at all levels of the education system. An effective ICT program is not simply placing computers in schools, but concomitantly training all teachers in both the use of computers and in the use of computers as an instructional tool in the classroom. So we're not only going to put it there, we must train the teachers and must also train them to use the computer as tools for teaching. Our information technology unit will be strengthened to provide the necessary support to our schools. Curriculum revision will be required to accommodate the new delivery modes. Technical drawing, for example, this subject is now taught via a computer using the program Computer Aided Design. Many activities can now be taught using computer simulations, reducing the need for specialized labs and other capital intensive infrastructure. Madam Speaker, we note that the NIC introduced what is known as a program called RiverGIP, a program in mathematics where children can learn mathematics on their own as they progress and as they become successful, they continue. This program cost the NIC $4 million in software. Now, this program is available for use at the school, but we are not able to utilize this program because we do not have the hardware, which are the computers and the teachers, to direct the programs at the primary school level. So we are working on this to see whether we can get this formalized and get teachers to be able to use the computers to introduce that program to the school. Major rehabilitation integrity to all school plans. Preventative maintenance, which I spoke about. The goal of this exercise is to ensure that the school environment is conducive to learning. Schools account for a significant or the biggest percentage of a nation's capital stock. To the economists, this does not only represent wealth accrued over many years, but it is also the most vital factor in the production of new wealth, especially in small, vulnerable economies like ours. Throughout the years, our schools have been grossly neglected, either through lack of finance or the adoption of improper maintenance programs. In most cases, school maintenance decisions have been based on expediency and over a period of time represents a series of ad hoc and unrelated compromises between the immediate physical needs of schools and the availability of finance. Failure to keep buildings to an acceptable condition renders them unsafe, and they fail to respond to the needs of the occupants, in this case, the teachers and students. Since students remain at the primary schools only up to grade 6 level, some primary schools find themselves with excess space. Yet there are some primary schools that seem to be bursting to the scene. Again, this year, Madam Speaker, this year's registration process for kindergarten in the Catchees Basin was revealing. There were about 5 schools where only 5 parents opted to send their school. Only 5 parents. All other parents protested the assignment of their children to those schools in the Catchees Basin. They were looking for the schools that performed and got all the passes at the CXP, at the Common Entrance Examination. They didn't want to send their children to the schools that were performing poorly. Some of these schools sometimes attract many students because of their performance record, and in other cases, because of size or in the other educational district, these schools are the only school in the community. However, it is anticipated that if the nation's book control remains in the declining mode in many of our education districts, we will have further reduction of students at the primary school level. This would make more space available, possibly, for assisting with the early child education. And remember I said that government does not have full control over preschools in particular. They are privately owned. And if we begin to have space, excess space at the primary school, we can begin to look how we can utilize that space for the benefit of those students from 3 to 5 to give them an early start. If the trend continues, the reduction at the primary school level will at some point impact on the secondary school population as well. What will happen is that the intake at the secondary schools will peak, reach a plateau, and then begin to dip downward. So if that trend remains, it's not only going to affect the primary schools, it's also going to affect our secondary school, and we might begin to have more space at the secondary school level. We will, however, seek to construct and refurbish school buildings so that they can respond to the new technological curricula and provide a healthy, safe, and conducive environment for teachers and students alike. The main objectives: to provide a safe, healthy, and conducive learning environment for all students and teachers, to enable schools to better respond to the ever-changing curricula, to preserve and increase the economic value of the nation's most valued building stock. And, Madam Speaker, I'm going to give a list of schools that need major construction. We are not saying that we have the money to build them, but I'm going to name them here, hoping that we can find the money at some time to refurbish or reconstruct those schools. The following schools need to be refurbished, reconstructed, or expanded. But to do so, we must first obtain the necessary finance to satisfy that need. And I will give you a list of those schools. Construction of a new Donata school to replace existing dilapidated building. Donata is in, the school is almost in shambles. We need to build a new school. Major refurbishment of all our special education schools apart from Donata. Construction of a new infant school at Niku to replace existing dilapidated 100-year-old building. That building is over 100 years. Construction of a new infant school at Denry to replace the existing building, which poses a hazard to students and which is also dilapidated. Construction of a new primary school at Lagay, which is also dilapidated. Construction of a new block for the Viewport Comprehensive Campus B, so that they can enhance performance in science subjects. And that is necessary. Some of their facilities are in a state of disrepair. They have some wooden blocks which needs to be removed. And I must state here, Madam Speaker, that Viewport Campus B captured 5 of the top 7 CXC places at the Awards of Excellence held in January this year. So we cannot neglect a school like this. We must ensure that they have the facilities and encourage them, especially to do the science of them. So for Viewport, we have done an allocation of $1 million, but that I don't think is sufficient. We will begin the work, but we will try to get the rest of the money to ensure that we do that. Construction of a playing field at George Charles Secondary School, because the existing field is waterlogged. We need to look at a place for them, because since that school was built, I don't think we have had any playing facility. Construction of 16 classrooms at Corrin Secondary School to replace timber building. There's a timber building, the floors are sinking at the Corrin Secondary School. We need to replace that. Extension of 10 classrooms at Methodist Primary to replace existing structurally damaged building. I think that building it's cracked. I don't know whether it's through earthquake, but that building, you cannot repair it. It means you need to build another 10 classrooms for it, because you need to abandon this building. It's not safe. Construction of new infant school at Ancillary to relocate existing school because of natural hazard from the sea waves, glass, and flood. That school is virtually built on the beach, and the sun keeps blowing while teachers are teaching. It's a hazard to the church. So we need to get out of that school, leave it to the church, that they can do something else and get another. Roofing of the existing multi-purpose court at the following schools to be used as auditoriums and other purposes: PI, Babono, Soufre, and Asia Secondary Schools. So we have a number of big projects, but again, as I said, we need to find the money, and we will do them, even if we can tackle them one by one. But all of them needs to be done to enhance the teaching learning process at these schools. Establishment of learning resource centers at all secondary schools. Under the OECS Education Development Project, the government of St. Lucia has made provisions to support the establishment of learning resource centers in each secondary school. The LRC will be equipped with the requisite equipment and materials to support the instructional program of the schools. Further, the LRC will have a complement of essential library resources and information technologies capabilities. And that is what most schools are asking for now. We are starting with the secondary schools. The primary schools are also asking for LRCs, but this is expensive, because not only that you have to put in library facilities and computers, but you must also have a maintenance plan, because sometimes you put these things there, and if they are not taken care of within a year or two, they are not working. So we must also have a maintenance plan for the LRCs. The LRCs represent the reconceptualization of the traditional school library. This new learning space will seek to enhance and enrich the school's curriculum, stimulate interest and independence in literacy, and encourage and develop metacognitive skills for independent and lifelong learning.
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes within which to complete your presentation.
Maybe about another 15. Madam Speaker, I'd like to invoke the provisions of Standing Order 3210 to allow the member from Eton North a further 15 minutes in which to complete his presentation.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow the Honourable Member an additional 15 minutes within which to complete his presentation. I now put the question. As many as all that opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many as will be contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Leave us granted.
Thank you, Member Proposer. Thank you, Madam Speaker. If I may continue with LRCs, this new initiative is aimed at providing the requisite staff, that is the resource center coordinators, to supervise the LRCs currently being established at the various secondary schools on the island. Increase in student support services. In its 2006 manifesto, the current government proposed to restore the transportation subsidy to secondary school children. The rationale emanated from the implementation of the universal secondary education, which increased access to secondary education all over the island. Several students have not been able to maximize the opportunity afforded as a direct result of poverty. Student attendance, punctuality, and school dropouts remain major concerns. It became urgent to implement a transportation subsidy program for needy students at the secondary school. And I heard someone complaining this morning, I think it was a member for Castry South, about the transport subsidy. Let me say here, Madam Speaker, that what has been happening is that children are crisscrossing each other on their way to school. Because of the poor performance of a number of students at the Common Entrance Examination, as long as the member for Mikunov alluded, scoring as low as not as 0 to 19, you find that students are placed at secondary schools where there are space. What happens is that a child may be OJ and crosses five secondary schools, two at Beaufort, one at Ajay, one at Miku, one at Jenny to go to the Gloria secondary school. Now usually the child perform poorly on the commitment exam. The child usually comes from a single parent who is poor and is not able to afford to pay transportation for that child. So what is going to happen is that child not doing very well will eventually drop out of school. But with the transportation subsidy, with those students, they are able to board a transport with the subsidy, go to the school and return home. So I cannot see, I find when someone says that it is a waste of money to have the transportation subsidy, I think that this person is very insensitive to the problems that some of the parents face in St. Lucia. The program, Madam Speaker, that is the subsidy program, has met with overwhelming demand from the public as well as from potential drivers. Approximately 6,000 parents initially applied for the services and 600 drivers. This was followed by almost daily requests via telephone from various sources to include extenuating cases. Needy students are identified by the school principal, teachers, counselors, Department of Human Services, family courts, churches, parliamentarians, and other community organizations. In addition, parents who are in desperate need of the service were invited to apply. The transportation subsidy program was implemented in October 2007 at the cost of approximately $2.4 million. Number of children participating in the program so far, 1,500. Number of drivers participating in the program so far, 119. Number of secondary schools, 11. Initial reports, Madam Speaker, indicate that this program has brought great relief to single parents, peace of mind to other parents, improved safety and security of students, improved discipline in some cases, curbed promiscuity, prostitution, and has also improved attendance and punctuality. This year, the program will be expanded to include more schools, more students, and more secondary schools. In addition, other support programs such as school feeding, textbook rental, bursaries, counseling services will be expanded. Special education teachers will also be increased. Counselors' positions will be regularized in this school year, and we will undertake to regularize teachers' positions at our special schools. Some parents, Madam Speaker, have indicated they are unable to get their children to attend school because of lack of control. They have no control of the students. And some members alluded to this. Truancy and regular absenteeism are also reported. To combat such a practice, the Ministry of Education is in the process of appointing one attendance officer in the north and one attendance in the south. We are already carrying out interviews for that. We anticipate that the appointment will assist students to maximize the opportunities afforded. They will work closely, these attendance officers will work closely with agencies such as the social transformation, counselors, the churches, and the police. Capacity building and social strengthening to set the foundation for national development, economic and social prosperity. Madam Speaker, as our nation begins to understand the need to more effectively manage our development for greater economic and social prosperity, our human capital, human resources, and the competencies of citizens represent the greatest assets and challenges in capacity building and institutional strengthening. It is therefore crucial that the thrust towards nation building parallels our investment in the quality of and access to tertiary education. Three approaches will be used: promotion of TVET, expanding skills training, upgrading faculties to a full-fledged university. With reference to upgrading faculties to a full-fledged university and college, because we want to keep the college component, as our premier tertiary institution, faculties, we have to play a greater role in the development of our human capital. Through leadership, research initiatives, program development, and resource mobilization, faculties must assure the nation of viable institutional structures which support the development and implementation of an innovative, sustainable, responsive education agenda. This warrants an urgent assessment or evaluation of the programs that are currently being offered, and that is what is happening now. Providers of training opportunities such as the Saracolis Community College must be cognizant of the training needs of St. Lucia and modify existing programs that are offered to meet those needs. The results of this evaluation may provide desperate answers as we seek solutions to answers such as expansion and innovative ideas in tailoring programs to adequately prepare the citizens of St. Lucia for increasing opportunities at the local, regional, and international levels. A discussion paper was submitted to the Ministry of Education after numerous consultations with stakeholders. Consultations on the same are continuing with staff as key stakeholders. Today, all principals of secondary schools and professional staff of the Ministry of Education and Culture have been briefed, the staff of Saracolis Community College. Other sectors, including the Ministry of Health and Tourism, have been consulted. The paper makes proposal for the upgrading of the college in terms of baccalaureate and associate degree programs, relationships with other universities, human resources, and general administration. The work in progress so far are as follows: the establishment of an approval board, the establishment of an accreditation body, the establishment of a research unit, and of course discussion with other universities outside of St. Lucia, including the University of the West Indies. Financial institutions, Madam Speaker, such as the World Bank, CDB, and EU, have expressed a commitment to help provide teacher training and other training at the post-secondary level in relation to the upgrading of Saracolis. Several universities have also expressed an interest in the articulation of the programs and to form partnerships with Saracolis Community College. So when the member for Cash Reserve spoke about universities can come in and do it. These are some of the things that we are thinking of. We have spoken to a number of them. We are, when he spoke about 212, the college is already offering as associate degrees, so which means it's taking another 2 years to do it. We also recognize that the college is also offering the BEd degree. The college is also offering a first year tuition and second year tuition in some subjects. So there are a number of things, and that is done in affiliation with the University of West Indies and other universities. So your points was well taken, and we are thinking along those lines. Promotion of technical vocational education, training and skills, that is very important to us. Within the framework of the Education Sector Development Plan, the Ministry of Education and Culture will seek to improve the capacity of secondary schools, Paul Lewis Community College, National Skills Development Center, NALU, and other training providers to offer high-quality technical and professional education and training with a highly coordinated and flexible program or framework in respect to the changing needs of the labor market. Specifically, the ministry will seek to do the following: formalize and organize an organizational structure for TVET integration, develop and implement a national policy for TVET, establish a labor market information system, review and strengthen existing TVET programs in school, SAR, police, NSDC, NLU, establish new TVET programs with appropriate equipment and teaching materials, and with increased access of students. Establish a national system of certification and accreditation, including introduction of the National Vocational Qualification, and then later on, the CSE has the Caribbean Vocational Qualification. Establish effective career guidance programs in school. Provide training for teachers of TVET. I want to speak briefly on the OECS Skills for Inclusive Program. This program would assist the government of St. Lucia to increase the employability of youth through private sector driven training. Enhance the knowledge and skills of participants to help youth transition to the labor market. Intensify the competitiveness of the economy by providing youth with skills, training, and know-how sought by employers. Increasing the levels of training for unemployed youth. This training will impact both the life skills and technical skills. The first component of the project will subsidize training of approximately 1,850 unemployed youth and their placements in traineeships with private firms to gain on-the-job experience. Now, this training was supposed to begin initially with the hospitality sector, but when the World Bank came in, I had discussions with the World Bank, and I said hospitality service should not be the only sector looked at. And we looked at the sector of construction, agricultural skills, and ICT. And we asked the World Bank, they are now formulating the curriculum, and hopefully what we are trying to do is to get them to expedite this program so that we can introduce all of the programs, instead of hospitality program alone, we'll introduce all four programs. What we want to do is not to introduce this program only in the North at BC, but we want to decentralize the program and extend the program to other students all across St. Lucia. So that is why we have not actually launched the program, because we want to ensure that all four components are addressed at the same time. Okay. We spoke about managing information systems, the electronic database. I said already, we have a number of teachers, we have a number of watchmen, we have a number of janitors, we have workers at the Ministry of Education, and all we do is to have files on them. We need a system where we can extract information quickly, where we can store information without having too much space. So that is the system we are going to adopt. And of course, we have another one, we have the National Literacy Survey. That is on. We are carrying out the pilot part of it now, and that we are going to introduce. And as you know, that is necessary to help you identify the percentage or the number of persons who are illiterate in your society. So that is taking place. Finally, Madam Speaker, I want to speak briefly on culture. What I will do is to sort of summarize my contribution on culture. The Cultural Development Foundation, as you know, is supposed to be an independent entity. It has its own board, but it's under the jurisdiction of the Ministry of Education. The Cultural Development Foundation is now poised to embark on fresh and exciting initiatives for the development of the art and culture of St. Lucia. The foundation has identified four main areas for focus, and I will just name a few. First, the creation and cultural, the creative and cultural industries are everywhere regarded as driving forces in the delivery of economic benefits to the artists and the nation. The CDF will work towards the effective facilitation of opportunities for the growth of the cultural sector. Secondly, the CDF is convinced that urgent attention must be given to the further development of St. Lucia's rich, unique tradition, arts and folklore. This includes the preservation of the authentic character of our cultural heritage while increasing its marketability as viable economic product. Thirdly, the Ministry of Education through the agency of the CDF will work on the development of a comprehensive program for the introduction of the arts and culture into the mainstream curricula of the schools. Alongside this, I would like to see a more conscious and committed involvement of the media, both print and electronic, in the creation and publication of content that is more truly reflective of our vibrant arts and culture. We stand ready to work in collaboration with the media in these areas. Fourthly, my ministry will work towards the establishment of strategic regional and international alliances in the creative sector. This will lead to a much needed showcasing of local artists, talents, and products, and the development of business opportunities on both the regional and international side. With culture, Madam Speaker, I think somebody said nothing was said in the budget about culture, and somebody mentioned the previous government helped musicians. But this government also has a standing arrangement to assist musicians and artists through the CDF, because that was already done, so that is continuing. We have also, somebody spoke about, mentioning about SESEN this morning, and nothing has been done. My ministry recognized that SESEN is having both social and economic problems, and she's almost bedridden as queen of culture and queen of folklore. We took to cabinet a proposal on her behalf, and through the folklore, the research, the folklore department, the cabinet agreed that she'd be given $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. That money is given to the research center, folklore research center, through Montreal, applicants on it, to ensure that she's taken care of, to get somebody to take care of her because she's bedridden. So we are doing this, and I want to tell Madam Speaker, I want to say that one of the things we want CDF to be more focused on the promotion and development of the arts culture. One of the things we think they are too involved in too many events, and what they need to do is to take up some events. For example, we feel that the event of Asu Square should be reverted to the city council. That should not, we think, should not be the business of the CDF. They should concentrate more on promoting and development of the culture. And what we would like them to do, the officers that they have that are versed and understand the culture of Lao Wars, to go out into the various districts and, you know, work with the teachers. I mean, the teachers are willing. Teachers are willing to promote that art, to work with the teachers to promote that culture. And of course, we have included on the priority list scholarships for persons wanting to do theater arts, visual arts, and so on. So because there is a difficulty of getting such teachers to teach such subjects in school. So we are promoting this, and we are doing all in our power to ensure that CDF is going to do the best that they can to promote the rich and vibrant culture of St. Lucia. The way forward, Madam Chairman, we know that the CDF is also joining with the Ministry of Tourism to ensure that certain activities are properly advertised, and with the Ministry of Social Transformation, we encourage this. We encourage linkages between the ministry. One can help each other to ensure that the culture of St. Lucia is promoted. Madam Chairman, I would like to thank you. Madam Speaker, sorry, I want to thank you very much.